Chapter 6. Knitting. The Defarges wine shop in Saint-Antoine was dark and depressing. The poor peasants drank and played dominoes. Madame Defarge knitted and watched the customers. Upstairs, in Dr. Manette's old room, Monsieur Defarge held a secret meeting. Several men were there, all called Jacques. Their newest member, Jacques Five, was a simple peasant in a blue cap. He was the same man who spoke to the Marquis on the hill a year before. "Speak, Jacques Five," Monsieur Defarge said. "Tell us what you saw." Jacques Five said, "A year ago, I saw a man hide under the carriage of the Marquis Saint-Evremond."
"Then what happened?" asked Defarge.
"The man ran away," Jacques Five explained. "The Marquis asked me who it was, but I didn't know him. I said that he was a tall man, and white as a ghost."
"What has happened since then?" Defarge said.
Jacques Five continued. "Not long ago, the soldiers caught this man and put him in a cage. They tortured him. They say he killed the Marquis, and they will burn his face, or cut off his head, or maybe wild horses will pull him in four directions." The men listened to this horrible news. Defarge said,
"Good work. Go and wait outside for us."
When Jacques Five left the room, Defarge turned to the others.
"We must kill every single member of the evil Evremond family. My wife will make a note of it. She will add their names to her list."
"But what if someone finds your wife's list?"
Jacques Two asked. Defarge laughed. He said,
"Nobody will find the list. She knits the names into the shrouds she makes."
The next day, Monsieur Defarge took Jacques Five to the Palace of Versailles to see the aristocrats. Jacques Five was a simple country peasant. He had never seen such riches. Madame Defarge joined them, knitting the whole way.
"What are you knitting, madame?" asked Jacques Five.
Without looking up, she said,
"I am making a shroud to cover the dead. There are plenty of dead in Paris."
The Palace of Versailles was enormous. A gold coach rode by, carrying the king and the queen. All the lords and ladies of the court, in elegant costumes, followed them.
"Long live the king!" cried Jacques Five. "Long live the queen!"
Madame Defarge was disgusted. She said,
"You would shout for anybody or anything that made a show and a noise."
"I think I would,"
Jacques Five agreed.
"Well," Madame Defarge said, "you have seen the king and queen. Now you can go home. You will never see them alive again."
Monsieur and Madame Defarge got back to Saint-Antoine very late. A policeman waited for them by the wine shop with a lantern in his hand. As they got closer, they saw that the policeman was their friend. He whispered,
"I've got some news for you. I've heard an interesting rumour."
"Tell us," Defarge said.
"A spy is hiding," the policeman said, "right here in Saint-Antoine."
"A spy? Who is he?"
Madame Defarge said.
"And what does he look like?"
"He's an Englishman," the policeman answered. "His name is John Barsad. He is 40 years old and quite tall. His hair and beard are black, and his face is thin. He is handsome, but he has a sinister smile."
Madame Defarge laughed.
"What a description! Oh, I'll knit his name tomorrow."
The Defarges went into the shop. Monsieur Defarge lit a pipe. Madame Defarge said,
"We have waited for revenge for so long."
"Be patient,"
Monsieur Defarge replied. Madame Defarge asked,
"How long does it take for an earthquake or for lightning?"
A long time, I suppose,
Monsieur Defarge answered. The people are ready, his wife continued. Look how angry all the Jacques are. Every hour, the revolution gets nearer.
My dear wife, Monsieur Defarge said, we may not see revolution in our lifetime.
Yes, we will, Madame Defarge said. The time is getting closer. Show me the neck of an aristocrat, and I will...
Wait, her husband said. You must be patient.
Madame Defarge began to knit. She said, when the time comes, we will let loose a tiger and a devil.
The next day, the wine shop was crowded with peasants when a man entered. Madame Defarge saw him and immediately put a rose in her hair. The rose was a secret signal. One by one, the people got up to leave the wine shop. Good morning, the man said. Madame Defarge looked at him. He was about 40 years old and quite tall. His hair and beard were black. Across his thin, handsome face was a sinister smile. So this was Barsad, the spy from England. May I have some wine? The spy asked. Madame Defarge gave him a glass of wine, and he drank it quickly. This is very good wine, madame, he said. Madame Defarge knew the man was lying. Nobody had ever complimented the wine before. She continued knitting. You knit very well, madame, the spy said.
Oh, it's just a pastime, Madame Defarge replied.
The spy looked around the empty shop. Business is bad, he said. Where are all your customers?
The people are very poor, Madame Defarge answered. They work hard to survive.
Suddenly, Monsieur Defarge entered the shop. The spy turned to him and said, Good day, Jacques.
Good day, Jacques,
Monsieur Defarge replied. He and his wife looked at each other in surprise. The spy looked at the Defarges. He said, I know Dr. Manette and his daughter in England.
Oh, really? Monsieur Defarge answered. How are they?
In fact, the spy said, I have got some secret information for you. Lucy Manette is going to marry a man called Charles Darnay. But Darnay is not his real name.
What is his real name?
Madame Defarge asked.
His mother's name was D'Aulnay, the spy said. Charles Darnay is really the nephew of the Marquis Saint-Evremond.
Monsieur Defarge lit his pipe, and his wife continued knitting, but they were both shocked. After the spy had paid and left, Monsieur turned to his wife. He asked,
Can it be true? Will Lucy Manette marry an aristocrat, the nephew of the Marquis?
Stranger things have happened, Madame Defarge answered. The Manettes are our friends, but I can never forgive any relative of the Marquis Saint-Evremond. I hope this nephew of his stays out of France for his own sake.
The church bells rang. Night fell on Saint-Antoine. Madame Defarge wasn't the only person knitting. In the streets, poor women everywhere counted stitches and knitted to keep their minds from hunger. They knitted and dreamed of freedom and life. But soon, they would not only count stitches, they would count dropping heads.